Is the mic on? What's wrong with Orny Adams, episode 101? Hi, welcome back. Yogi Berra said, you know, he was great for things he said. And he also said, I hadn't heard this quote before, if you don't go to somebody's funeral, they won't go to yours. Which makes perfect sense. At the same time, it doesn't make sense. But it makes perfect sense if you're reading this book like I am. It's called Bowling Alone. It came out a while ago. It's written by Robert Putman, and it's about the collapse of the American community. You know how people used to belong to the Rotary Club and Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, the Girl Scouts? They used to bowl with people. There was a sense of community. People went to the community center. They played together. That's not going on anymore. And that's the breakdown of society. It's getting worse. We're all disconnected from each other and from social structures. I'm going to get into that later. That's part of the theme of the podcast today. Part of the theme of the podcast is how horrible the lighting is in Adam Carolla's podcast studio. I'll get into that in a second. But first, let's play the theme. Somebody sent in a new theme. I want to thank Adrian for this, his version of What's Wrong with Orny Adams. And I encourage everybody, send in your own version of the podcast. Now, this, it's a little tinny. There you go. Thanks, Adrian. Adrian says, hello, Mr. Orny Adams. I like how formal he is. I'm new to subscribe to your podcast. What happened was, I'm thinking, subscribe? Is he subscribing where? YouTube? Patreon? Orny! Where's he subscribing? Spotify? Okay, I'm new to subscribe to your podcast yet. I've been listening to quite a bit. It's my New Year's resolution to subscribe to shows and they've helped me maintain a positive attitude. I don't know how, bringing this down, I don't know how my podcast is helping you have a positive attitude. I'm the opposite of positive attitude. Actually, I probably have a positive attitude. It's just you wake up in a good mood every day and then the world chisels away little by little. They just chisel and chisel and whittle away at your hunk of enthusiasm and positive attitude. So if any of my positive attitude can come through to people listening like Adrian, that's fantastic. Adrian says, thank you for the laughs that your insights bring. I have a file attachment enclosed, which we're listening to right now. It is an attempt at your theme song. I don't like the lack of confidence there, Adrian. It's an attempt. It's an attempt. I've also included a link to my YouTube. Oh, here comes the sell. As a candidate for your production team. Yeah, I need a production team. You know who really needs a production team? Well, it doesn't need a production team. Well, I don't get over at the Adam Carolla. I did the podcast yesterday. I always leave there not feeling very good about how I look. I feel fine now. Like I'm looking at the monitor right now. This is the way I feel I look. And I get a straight on camera. I'm talking to you, Adam Carolla, and your production staff. I love doing the show. I love butting heads with you. I feel very welcome. I like showing up and I don't have to worry about anything. That's cool. Okay? But I it's very uncomfortable. You have to sit like this. So the camera's there. This is basically the angle I get. I don't think the lighting favors us. I don't think it favors Adam. I saw Adam yesterday in person. Not a bad-looking guy, but I don't think the lighting and the cameras help. I should go in there and just do a technical overhaul because you never, as a guest, feel comfortable in there. It's like, remember, when I was growing up, you were always told, like on Johnny Carson and other talk shows, that the guests, their seat was a little bit lower than the host. And that's sort of what it feels like. And I know Adam's not doing this on purpose, but you sit at this awkwardly shaped table, and now I have to face Adam. And by the way, I'm not saying anything I wouldn't say to Adam in his face or on that podcast. In fact, I should have brought this up yesterday, but I was cocky and I thought I was finally going to look good. In fact, I'm even wearing the same t-shirt I wore yesterday to just show you, to demonstrate to you how much better I really look with the right camera angles and lighting, which is called production. So now you have to face Adam. So you never feel like the camera's on you. You don't know where to play. You're sitting in a weird seat. I don't look good from the side. So you never get that comfortable. I'm always like, do I cross my arms? Do I lean in? Do I? And I don't know if that's intentional. I'm going to ask him the next time I'm on. Hey, Adam, is that intentional? Are you doing that on purpose so the guest never gets comfortable? Well, you know, who knows? Who knows? But great show yesterday. It's up. It's up now. You can watch it on his YouTube channel, and you can listen to it wherever you listen to it. I don't know. But anyway, Adrian, thank you for writing that theme. Thank you for your attempt. I appreciate it. Thought it was great. I encourage everybody, send in, if you want to cover my theme or you want to email me, it's whatswrong@ornyadams.com. It is that simple. I'm going to read another email that I got. This is from Rob C. Hey, Orny, I just got my Phoebe shirt in the mail. Phoebe is fear of being included. It's what I discuss on stage. Oh, and by the way, for the people that commented on my podcast a couple of episodes ago, the shirt I was wearing, people loved it. Here it is, right here. It is a sketch of me that was drawn by a 5-year-old in all of 30 seconds. And it's brilliant. And I've now had it made into t-shirts. Bringing these t-shirts on the road with me next week. I'm going to get back to Rob's email in a second, but you can now get these. I haven't sold white t-shirts in a long time. So I will have these as I hit the road this weekend. I'll be in Traverse City, Michigan. I'm flying into the worst of the weather to see you at the Opera House in Traverse City, Michigan, January 20th, this Saturday night, 8 p.m. There's some tickets left in the balcony. I hope to see everybody. I don't know. I can't imagine there's anything else to do in Traverse City, Michigan on Saturday night except see my show. I'm offended it's not sold out already. I want to know what else is going on in Traverse City, Michigan this Saturday that's preventing people from coming to see my show. This is what got me going about this book, Bowling Alone. And how nobody wants to leave the house anymore. That's where we're at. We don't want to leave the house. It's a real bummer. It's a real bummer. There's too many things keeping us in the house. Anyway, after Traverse City, Michigan, I will be driving in the beautiful weather all the way to Chicago to perform at the Chicago Improv. I'm there every year. I'm excited to see everybody. Thank you for coming back. I'm there, what is it? I don't even know the dates, but it's the Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Look at my website. Go to ornyadams.com. And then after that, in February, I get to go to Florida. I get to go back to Sarasota, Florida, where the weather is reasonable. So that's my treat. I just got another call to play a gig in Florida, and they wanted me to come in October, but that's hurricane season. I'm done with weather. I've already been checking the weather every day for Traverse City, and then I connect through Detroit. So what's going on in Detroit? Am I going to be able to land? Then I look at the plane. How big is the plane? I want to be on a bigger plane if I'm going through weather. And I'm starting to think, maybe it isn't worth it anymore to get on a plane in this sort of weather and not feel safe to do stand-up. I'm starting to have like an existential crisis over here. Like, what's worth it anymore? Because when I'm there and I'm on stage, I love it. I love it. But getting there and all the other stuff. Another person wrote me an email, and I'll get into it in a minute. And I forgot to do something on the last episode, too. I can't remember what it was, but I thought, I forgot to circle back. So let me read this email quickly. This is, again, from Rob. Hey, Arnie, I just got my Phoebe shirt in the mail, fear of being included. And I got a thank you card. I am delighted. Yes, sometimes, depending on how much time I have or my mood, perhaps, sometimes I write a little note to people that order stuff off of my website just to give them a little extra value. He said, I'm a grown man, 36 years old, but today I feel more like a 10-year-old boy who just got his hero's autograph. Oh, that's so cool. It's so cool that you take the time to do that and read these emails. I'm fairly new to the whole comedy world, so I also love the insider comedy element of the pod. Getting into the weeds of things is always fun. Long episodes are not a problem. Of course, you may mention this email if you need to, and thanks so much again for going the extra mile in true Orny Adams fashion. You made my day. Boy, I love that. Thank you, Rob, for ordering the Phobie t-shirt off of my website. I hope to see you at one of my shows. That would be fantastic. Yeah, I didn't plan much for the podcast today. I'm just going to sort of talk. You know, I was inspired yesterday. I go in to do Adam Carolla's podcast. I have a couple of things in my mind that I've prepared, but I just go for it and talk. And he is very easy to have a conversation with. If I could find somebody like that for my podcast, I'd have him, the person sitting right there. And it would make this more conversational. But believe me, talking to yourself is very difficult. It's not easy. But if you have somebody here to bounce stuff off of, or they start speaking, it gives you time to gather a thought. It's totally different. Now, I do get a lot of emails, and a lot of them say, we prefer when you're alone on the podcast. And having a guest, to be honest, is a pain in the ass. They're demanding. I tried to interview Jack. Remember Jack, 99-year-old Jack, came to my show, talked about him on the last podcast. He's been emailing me. Well, I went down to his house because he was more comfortable if I went to him. Oh, he's 99. I mean, it makes sense. But I really want, for now on, I'm never doing that again, by the way. Never again am I leaving the comfort of this studio to go do some sort of remote. What am I, Keith Morrison on Dateline? I lugged 1, 2, 3 cameras down there and an external recording device, which failed not once, twice. And I'm doing it alone. And I can't. And then to set up, you want insider comedy stuff, Rob? Here you go. Inside podcast stuff. To set these cameras up on these tripods again, to get the height and the angles and everything perfect, it took quite a bit of my morning. Quite a bit. I'm not doing that again. But I wanted to accommodate Jack. I thought he's 99 years old. He probably has a lot of good advice. And so I set the cameras up. And, you know, the one on me looks horrible. And then the audio, I thought, I have a portable recorder, and we were using 2 XLR mics, which are these mics, but they sort of look like the mic you use on stage, but it's this sort of import. It's a professional import. And I thought it automatically split the audio, which is what it does on this Rodecaster Pro I have. It splits the audio, so in post, if one person's louder and the other person softer, you can even it out. Well, this wasn't able to even out. It came out on one track. And Jack was very soft and he was holding the mic away. I kept asking him to hold the mic closer. Anyway, we had to send it out to an expert, which is going to cost me money. And it sounds okay. I still think I should just get Jack up here. But he also gave me a tour of his place, which is wild. The fact that he's 99 and lives at home. I thought that was wild. But moving forward, I'm not taking this equipment out of here. When I sat down today, like I have monitors, I can see levels, I can see that everything's recording, I can see what I look like beforehand. I like that. I can match everything, right? Works. I can see everything. I feel in control, and that's important to me. And to feel comfortable goes right back to that Carolla podcast. If you don't feel comfortable, you don't perform as well. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I have an itchy nose. Itchy nose. Maybe it's just me. Maybe everyone else feels comfortable and likes the way they look. I can't stand the way I look. Never have. So, anyway, I have all the recording. It's one of the recordings, because we did a sit down and we did a tour of his place. That's already been beefed up, and it sounds okay, but there's a hum, and I don't know. It's too much. And you don't know this, but a minute ago, there was a technical difficulty on this podcast. Something on my iTunes on my computer just started playing. So that's got to be edited out. It's just, oh, I want to go back to just living on a farm. I just want to live on a farm and hoe. I just want to hoe. Want to be disconnected. Too connected. You know how connected we are? I on the last podcast, I did an entire run on bay leaves. Or bay leaves. On a bay leaf. Bay leaves. About how unimportant they are. Like, nobody's ever thought, wow, you know what this soup is missing? A bay leaf. The only time bay leaf is a problem is if there's too much bay leaf. I've had that happen. I'm like, well, what am I eating? Eucalyptus soup? So I did a whole thing. And then I get an email from a person or a DM on Instagram. And they're like, oh, so-and-so talks about bay leaves. Hey, everybody, you got to stop that. You got to stop telling creative people that other people are doing something similar. Here's one of the biggest misconceptions people have about comedy. Not all comics are watching other comics. I can tell you, every special that's on Netflix right now, I haven't watched. And I don't watch those comics when they're in the clubs. We don't. We go in, we do our job. We're usually en route to another club. Like, if we're in LA, we're doing several clubs in a night. If we're on the road, like when I'm in Traverse City, Michigan, or Chicago, it's just me on stage. And then my openers, so I get to see one other comic. We're not all out there like discussing, like, oh, did you see XYZ is doing a, it's got a big bid on such and such. Here's the other thing. We're all exposed to the same thing. We're all seeing a bay leaf. We're all cooking and seeing that it says put in a bay leaf. We're all like, you gotta stop. There's gonna be overlap. What I'm saying is, a lot of the times the input is not necessary. I have a friend, he's a friend. And every time he sees something that's close to one of my bits, like a meme, he sends it to me. I don't need to see it. I want to live in a bubble where I feel like I'm the only one doing this stuff. That's the only way I can deliver it. I'm not so naive and arrogant to think I'm the only one doing these topics. But it's my version of it. And I'm not going to drop doing something because I had an experience in my life and a thought in my life, and now I want to relate it to you. I'm just not. What I'm saying is there's too much input from people, and I'm a little fired up because of an email I got from somebody yesterday. Some person that comes to my shows a lot. I don't need criticism. I don't. If you're not into it, don't show up. That's the way it works. When you stop liking a product, you stop buying it. If enough people stop buying it, then the product ceases to exist. In my case, it's the opposite of ceasing. It's growing. More people are coming out. More people are paying for tickets. Not here to cater to one person who has an opinion. So the comedy police who are, you know, they'll say, hey, you know, so-and-so is doing that subject. I always think, yeah, I mean, every comic should be doing that. You know, like I do bits, very generic topics amongst other non-generic topics. But, you know, if you see every few minutes they're running implants for life commercials out here about people with implants, and I'll talk about that on stage. You don't think that like every other comic is seeing that? And why does this rule only apply to comedians? Why aren't you writing into musicians going, why are you writing about love? Another song about love? How many times have I heard somebody sing about love? You know, when you look at the impressionists like Monet and those people, that's the only one I could think of, they all sat on like the French countryside and painted the same landscapes, but they had different interpretations of it. Don't you get it? If you don't understand it, don't comment on it. is what I'm saying. Sit back, enjoy the ride, and or don't enjoy the ride. Now, I don't know how a bay leaf set me off like this, but it has. The other thing that's happened, which was remarkable in 2023 with this podcast, What's Wrong with Orny Adams, is the listenership doubled. Doubled. Now, if that happens every year, that's called exponential, and we're to the moon. So thank you to everybody listening. Thank you for the people that support me on Patreon or sending contributions. I love it. I love it because we're not an ad-generated podcast yet. Hopefully, we get to that point. A little bummed about the world, I think. And I don't know if I want to get into it because it's Debbie Downer stuff. But I hear a lot of rumblings from people saying, well, what's going on? Why don't I have as much energy? Why am I not so enthused about life? Why don't I want to work? I mean, what? I don't know if we're in a sort of mass bummer mood, everybody. And is it because of COVID? Is it because of lockdowns? Is it because of long COVID side effects? Is it just cyclical? Is it because every day you turn on the news and they just want to scare the crap out of you? It's everything is reported on like a sporting event. They just want to hook you. And these wars, plural, we've stopped talking about Ukraine, but there's that one's still going on. Still people dying, innocent people. Wars, inflation, the economy, interest rates, food prices, and in general, we are so divided, just divided, and there's no reasoning with anybody, anybody. Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to change. Everybody's right. Everybody's here and here. And what I do is I tend to come in the middle a lot. And that upsets both sides. So I've upset both sides because I like to think things through and see things a little differently. And you have to question everything. Just looking for some notes here. But you have to think. I hope I'm not getting a cough before I have to go to Michigan in the freezing cold. You have to think things through. Okay, this person sent me, this was on X, formerly Twitter. This guy's name is Philip. And he said, what's wrong with the world at Orny Adams? Because he's going off of this podcast. This is crazy. And he sends a link to a New York Post article, which also heavily covered in other medias that tend to malign these type of topics. I'm not going to say who, but this is what it says. FAA policy about hiring people with intellectual disabilities. Okay, that's the correction. Sorry. Here is the the federal, I don't know what the title was. Oh, FAA's diversity push, Federal Aviation Association, diversity push includes focus on hiring people with severe intellectual and psychiatric disabilities. And this was reposted by Elon Musk. And I'll read part of the article. The Federal Aviation Administration is actively recruiting workers who suffer severe intellectual disabilities, psychiatric problems, and other mental and physical conditions under a diversity inclusion hiring initiative spelled out on the agency's website. Quote, targeting disabilities are those disabilities that the federal government, as a matter of policy, has identified for special emphasis in recruitment and hiring. The FAA's website states they are hiring hearing, vision, missing extremities, partial paralysis, complete paralysis, epilepsy, severe intellectual disability, psychiatric disabilities, dwarfism. Well, I don't know what they object to dwarfism, but or any of this, to be honest, because what the FAA can do is they can hire somebody. Not all these people are landing planes or doing air traffic control. Not all, like somebody with a disability could be, you know, sweeping the floors. Or maybe landing a plane doesn't matter how tall you are. You'd be a dwarf and do that. Doesn't matter if you're missing an arm, you can help land a plane. So anyway, it goes on and on and on. And I get it. People, the knee-jerk reaction is the FAA should not hire somebody because they want to be inclusive and balanced and that sort of thought. They should be hiring the best people. Well, here's the thing, okay? I saw this and I said, yeah, this would be disappointing if I found out that somebody not qualified enough to land a plane was landing the plane because they were hired as some sort of inclusion hire, okay? But that's not the case. I went on to Snopes, okay? And this is the Snopes is a fact-checking website. And I know I discussed this on Adam Carolla yesterday, and people were upset that I was quoting Snopes, but, you know, Snopes seems to, you know, figure some stuff out a lot of the times. Okay, FAA policy about hiring people with intellectual disabilities has existed for over a decade. It's been there over a decade, since 2013. On January 14th, 2024, News Network and the New York Post, among others, ran a story that not so subtly tried to link January 5 Alaska Airlines incident to an allegedly new FAA emphasis on diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI initiatives. The Federal Aviation Administration is actively recruiting workers who suffer severe intellectual disabilities, psychiatric problems, and other mental and physical conditions under a diversity and inclusion hiring initiative spelled out on the agency's website. God, what is going on? The cited FAA text is real, but the implication that the policy is new or that it stems from efforts that began under the U.S. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, try spelling that, and President Biden was demonstrably false. It has been included on the FAA's website since at least as early as February 2013. It was present during the previous administration. Listen, I'm not being political. All I'm saying is you got to dig deeper beyond the headline. And I'm using this as an example. And it goes both ways. You have these people over here and these people over here. Nobody wants to meet in the middle anymore. What's lost is the middle. The middle is gone. Nobody wants to agree. They're going to fight for this no matter what, just to piss these people off and vice versa. And we're at a really bad time. And it's demoralizing. And it bums me out. I don't want to leave the house anymore because you just run into people that just aren't nice. Nobody's considerate. You know, Adam talked about it yesterday. Nobody signals. Yeah, nobody signals. Why would they signal? Why would you communicate with your fellow human? It makes too much sense. And it all comes down to this book, Bowling Alone. This Robert Putnam. This is why I love my parents. I mentioned this book. I said, I'm reading this book about bowling alone and the collapse of people being part of civil organized groups. And they said, oh, we saw that doctor speak. He's a Harvard professor. My parents, they're really on it. I seclude myself in a Shasta trailer, which I don't live in. I know this comes up. I get at least one email or comment a week. If I live in this, I don't live in this. I don't know how to tell you. I don't live in this. This was in the back. It's in my backyard. And I guess it's like you could party in it, but now it's got all this equipment. I'll put that angle on right now and you'll see it's all taken over. But I like it. It's cozy. It's cozy. So, I don't know. What I'm saying is, read beyond the headline. People read a headline and then they're outraged. We've got to stop that. We've got to stop being outraged. We've got to stop commenting. The internet, listen, it's wonderful when people tell me they love me, but when people have criticism that is so outrageous, it's so annoying. Fair criticism, I'm fine with. The goal in life, this was in my notes. The goal in life is to not leave your house. Modern life is to not leave your house. You feel safe here. You want to work from home. You want to have food delivered. You work out from home, right? You've got a Peloton, or you sit in front of a TV. You don't go to the movie theaters or out for entertainment or go see Orny Adams in Traverse City Opera House this weekend because you have everything in front of you. And because we're not leaving the house so much, we don't know how to engage and interact with people anymore. That's why you see people at the gym just sitting on their phones on devices. They're in their own world. They're not even thinking there's other people that might want the device. When you see people on their phones in restaurants, they're not thinking about the other people around them because it's just their world. We live in our world. We want to be in our house, and the world comes to us on our phones. We've become digital hermits. That's what we are. We stay inside with our devices, and we welcome in what we want. And what we don't want, we swipe away, swipe away, swipe away, whether it's dating, whether it's videos, whatever it is. And then we can sit back like we've accomplished everything in life. Like we have it all figured out, and we're going to comment on other people. It's malarkey, and it's unhealthy. And what is most unhealthy about a lot of people commenting is, what makes you think your opinion matters, or that we care about your opinion? I like the days when people were quiet. Didn't have to say everything you thought. Kept it inside and thought, that's for me. That thought's for me. That's not happening anymore. We live in a society where everyone has to share what food they're eating. They have to update you all the time. If they're in the hospital, they send a picture of them in the hospital, the IV coming into their arm to get some sympathy. I'm not that person. I exist in my world for myself. I don't share a lot. And maybe that's why I'm not as successful, if that's a word, in some of my pursuits, because I'm not naked all the time. I disseminate what information I choose to disseminate. I'm protective of my privacy and the people in my life. Maybe that's it. But I don't want to play that. I want to have my life. And a lot of the times, I'm not on my phone. I keep it in my pocket, certainly when I go out to eat. And I watch, I observe, and I'm like, this is interesting. Look at all the people on the phone. And you can see these phones are killing us. And I'm sad that it happened in my lifetime. I'm sad. We just want to sit at home, digital hermits, on our devices, and not have a conversation. Used to go to coffee shops to meet people, to have a conversation. Hey, are you done reading that paper? Can you pass that paper over here? Wow, this weather. But what did you order? When's the last time somebody engaged with you? Everyone's on their device. We look like complete assholes on our devices all the time. There's really nothing on there. There's nothing on there that we need. And we're so reactionary. This is why the stock market, if you follow that, this is why it's like this. Because it's like one little report, and it just sends everything in one direction or another. It was so reactionary. The market should, you should check it once a day. I don't. I check it all day. I'm obsessed. But that's not healthy, and I know that. But it used to be you wake up and you look in the paper, in the morning paper, and you'd see your stock symbol, and you'd see what it was worth, and go on with your day, and maybe place a trade. Now it's like, everybody's reaction, reacting. Everyone reacts to the stock market, to news, to wars, to what people say. Like, the overreaction in the world is destroying. Everybody's got to chill. Now, I know I had notes about the middle. Maybe I didn't. Maybe it's in my joke section. I have I have notes for the podcast, and then I have joke section. Let's see. Yeah, here it is. Scary leaving the house. Okay, there we go. People are not open to change. Find the middle ground. We are so extreme, we have lost the middle ground. Yeah. I mean, I just look at all my different notes. I should just discuss my notes. Like at the gym, I thought, you have to be on your guard all the time. Like you think digitally you're being ripped off, or you worry that your car's being broken into or your house. And like I grew up, and I've heard many people say this, we didn't lock the house. Probably slept with the doors open. We went away for a day. The doors were open. The cars were never locked. We kept our wallet in our back pocket. Can't do that anymore. I don't even know if people have wallets anymore. It's just looking over all the different new jokes I'm doing. Yeah. Got a lot of stuff to try when I'm in Chicago. Yep. Yeah, it's a bummer. And I'm reading this book, and I'll be honest with you. Let me read the back of the book, because I've been reading it for a few paragraphs, and sometimes the back of the book says everything you need to know. Okay, this is the back of the book. It's called Bowling Alone, Robert D. Putman. Once we bowled in leagues, usually after work, but no longer. Nobody even works anymore. Nobody wants to work anymore. What happened to work? What happened to people feeling a sense of accomplishment and gratified, getting something done? Once we bowled in leagues, usually after work, but no longer. This seemingly small phenomenon symbolizes a significant social change that Robert Putman has identified in his brilliant volume, which The Economist has hailed as a prodigious achievement. Drawing on vast new data that reveals America's changing behavior, Putnam shows how we have become increasingly disconnected from one another and how social structures, whether they be the PTA, the church, political parties, have disintegrated. Boy, have they disintegrated. And this is the 20th anniversary reissue. So he was onto this before the internet. Until the publication of his groundbreaking work, no one had so deftly diagnosed the harm that these broken bonds have weakened on our physical and civic health, nor had anyone exalted their fundamental power in creating a society that is happy, healthy, and safe. The 20th anniversary edition includes a preface with the author's reflections on the reception of the first edition and the entirely new chapter exploring how the internet has transformed American society in the last two decades. God. Let me see if he is. He's a Harvard professor and former dean of the John F. Kennedy School of Government. Smart guy. A lot of smart people. Anyway. Here's the book has graphs. The book has graphs, charts, you know. Look at this. I got to spend an afternoon figuring out what that means. That chart. Oh, jeez. Meanwhile, like I said, I read the back. I feel like I got everything. But I guess scientifically he is proving his point. I don't like to do that. I like to say something, whether it's true or not, and then... Either it's true or not. But he's gone to great lengths to prove his theory. You know, I should say this on the Corolla podcast yesterday. When I left, I'm like, I think I said when I was discussing the FAA and their DEI hiring mandates, I think I said it was on their website since 1973. Obviously, that was an error because there was no websites in 1973. So I caught that. No one else in the group. I caught him when I was driving home. I'm like, did I say that? I hope that doesn't invalidate everything I've ever said my entire life. So, yeah. So I have mixed emotions. By the way, I'm wearing a vintage-esque new MTV t-shirt, which I was on that network for the Teen Wolf show. Yeah, so I've got to leave the house, and I'm anxious. I've got my merch packed, but now I've got to figure out what outfits I'm going to wear. Daytime outfits, nighttime outfits, one for the theater, one for the Chicago comedy, improv, comedy club. and Schaumburg, Shami Schaumburg. And it's going to be freezing. Freezing. So, you know, packing gives me anxiety. And getting on the planes and everything that you have to do. Like, I'll give you an example. I rented a car and I realized that I made the pickup time too early. In other words, how am I going to get that car back at that time when I drop it off in Chicago? So I go to make it later. They won't honor the same price, even though it's 2 hours later, meaning I'm just going to pick it up 2 hours later, drop it off 2 hours later. But because the price has changed, they won't honor it. So it's like, what's wrong with the world? Everything is so rigid. Can't change airline tickets like you used to. You can't change, you can't get seats anymore. Everything's so expensive. Flights to Vegas for March when I'm at the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club, it's almost $500 from Burbank. It used to be $39 each way. Like, it's out of control. It's not fun. And all I do, and it's going to lead into this email from Rachel, all I do is spend time with logistics, like making these shirts. You know, the kid drew the shirt. Then I have to have somebody pretend they're a kid and write my name to have on the bottom. Then I have to send it to the printer. Then I have to order it. I have to go pick it up. Then I have to put labels on them for the size of the shirts and sell the shirt. I don't know if anybody cares about what I'm talking about, but it's a lot. And then I have to plan the travel and get there and this and that. I thought, want to know what's wrong with Owen Adams? I thought at this point in my life, I would just show up on stage and be funny. And somebody else would get the merch there. Somebody else would give me an itinerary. I go, oh, cool, look at the cars picking me up here. Somebody else would do the car rental. A lot of my energy goes into this. And it's a bummer because I miss the days when I sat around and I wrote. And I wrote. And things were easier. The world was more forgiving. It was more forgiving in what you said. It was more forgiving if you booked a car and you needed to change the time. You could get a human on the phone, but it isn't anymore. We live in a very unforgiving world, and it's exhausting. And I want to know how you feel about it. Do you feel the same way I do? Is this because I'm in a very competitive field? Is it because I live in this city of Los Angeles? Or do you feel these elements in your life? Are you working? Do you feel that when you go to work? Do you feel that when you travel? Are things just harder? You know, like I bought a bag of lettuce from Whole Foods. It was good until the 16th of January. I opened it up on January 14th and it smelled disgusting. Well, I don't have time to go back to Whole Foods and say, hey, this $6 bag of lettuce went bad. I don't have time this week. So in the old days, I think you just went to the local grocery place and everybody knew you and said, oh, hey, by the way, I bought a bag of lettuce last week and it went bad. And they go, oh, no problem. Just grab another one. But now it's like, it's almost like the formula is we're going to give you so much stuff for free. Or not free. I'm sorry. We're going to give you so much goods. Like everything is going to be cheaper because it's going to be imported from China and stuff like that. You're going to be paying less than you should. Like that bag of lettuce really should be $10, but you're paying $6. So every once in a while, you're just going to get screwed. You're going to get screwed. It just feels like there's a great sense of injustice in the world. More so than ever. Now, again, let me know. What's wrong at OwenAdams.com? Is it me? Is it me growing older? Like I said to a guy at the gym today, I said, you don't check the market. Do you watch the news? Like, what's your bubble? What's your bubble? That's what we should start asking people. What's your bubble? Is your bubble the news? Is it the stock market? Is it wars? Is it dating apps? Is it health and fitness? Is that your bubble? What's your bubble? Where do you exist? And why can't, and it comes back to the book, it comes back to the breakdown of community. In the old days, there was community. And when there was community, people had discourse. You played bingo and you talked about this stuff. I tried to talk about something controversial with somebody at the gym and he wouldn't have it. wasn't willing to go to the middle. And what I do is I make a little concession. And then I see if they make a concession. And he was unwilling. Why? Because there's no community. There's no sense of obligation to the community, to people. It's all breaking down. I want to go to Mars. I want to start my own utopian society in Mars. Now I know why people say, you know what? We're just going to go to this plot of land. Pick some state where there's a lot of land. And we're all just going to start there. And we're going to sow our oats and not be dependent on anybody. Here's the other thing I'm sick of. Subscription services. Now Google charges me for my emails. Not my Gmails, but my at Orny Adams. Paying like $50 a month to Google. Google really needs my money. Okay, I'm sick of subscriptions. I'm sick of everything. If you have security cameras as a subscription. Like the monthly payments I'm so tired of. And most of it comes from our digital possessions. The stuff that we need to be digital hermits. Our phones, our TVs, our internet. Digital, 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 digital. I mean, how many less bills do we have before we had digital, 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 and something's always not working. Digital, 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 digital. It is ruining our minds. It's taking up way too much of our time. It's driving us effing crazy. And how people don't recognize this. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of the expectations that if I don't return an email or text right away, ooh, I hear it. It's the digital, 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 digital. We're just living in our phones with digital hermits. This is from Rachel. Hi there. I think Rachel, I think I've read her stuff on the podcast before. What is the guy's name? He's on my Patreon. What is his name?
What is his name?
Justin. Hey, Justin. It's Orny Adams. Thank you for your email. Justin was very excited because he's been calling into the Adam Carolla Show for 2 years, leaving voice messages. Yesterday, for the first time, they played his voicemail message. And according to Justin, who was there? His favorite comedian, Orny Adams. And I think that's so cool. Thank you for subscribing to my Patreon. Thank you to everybody who subscribes. And thank you to the listeners. And what's really important is, whether you subscribe or not, or you just listen, or you watch the older episodes on YouTube, what's most important is that you pass my content along. Because I am an outside of the system guy. I don't like the system. I never have. Never really worked for me. My entire life. Even before I got into comedy. The only way to beat that system, for me, is if you guys share me. If you guys share me, then it's like the people speak. I want to be the people's comedian. Let me hold up my Putnam book again. I'm Orny Adams for the people. You know, I have all new theories I want to, as I run for being comedian of the people. One is, I don't think a lot of people should be raising their own children. I want to encourage adoption. So if you give your kid up for adoption and then your kid is a success, makes a lot of money, you're entitled to 10% of that in perpetuity. Perpetuity. That means forever. Perpetuity. That means in all languages in perpetuity and all worlds. So that if the kid's a success on Mars, you get 10%. I got a lot of new theories. Rachel says, hi there, I'm a big fan and can't wait to see you at the end of the month. I think that means Rachel will be in Chicago. Schaumburg. Rachel, guess what? You can get one of the new Orny Adams t-shirts. Going to be really curious to see how they sell. And if they sell well, I'll put them up on my website. You were talking, this is Rachel's email to the what's wrong at OrnyAdams.com email. You were talking about not having an agent and doing things yourself for your career. And it got me curious about what you do in your downtime when traveling. Well, Rachel, most of it's recuperating. These shows are exhausting. I do about an hour, 10, 20-minute show. And then I go in the lobby and I do a meet and greet afterwards. And, you know, it's hard to sleep when you're in hotels, and it's hard to find the right food and coffee. But she asks a lot of questions. I'm going to try and answer some of them. How much time do you need to spend at the venue working out the technical details? Well, the comedy clubs, I just show up. When I'm at the theater this weekend in Traverse City or the City Opera House, I'll get there early and do a tech check. What's most important when I play a theater is I like to see the audience. Some people like it completely dark. They don't want to see your face. I want to see your face. I want to see your face. So I like to have about 15% more light than most people so I can see the reaction and work off of people. If you're going to be in town for several days, what are you usually doing in your downtime? Well, you know, like Chicago, I get there, I wake up, I have to do media. I'll be on WGN, the TV show. And then it's sort of like you're just getting your bearings. And then it's time to get ready for the show. Most of the road is finding food and coffee. While traveling, are there things you bring from home to be comfortable? What do I bring from home? Not really. I've got my computer and, you know, if I drive somewhere, I bring a towel. Checking luggage is a weight problem, so I don't bring a towel. That's about it. Towels, food, a lot of food. I have a lot of snacks. I'm going to bring some apples on this trip. Apples and snacks. Something worse than waking up and on the road, you have to see people before you have your first cup of coffee. That's the hardest thing. Are the things you always make time for when you travel like exercise? I walk nonstop. I used to exercise a lot more. If I was shooting something and working on something, I would probably exercise. I might exercise on this trip because it's going to be freezing. You know, I can't walk outside. Do you make an effort to do something locally that you can bring up in your shows? Well, I don't go out of my way, but like when I was in Vegas a couple of months ago, I went to the Mob Museum. I went to the Neon Lights Museum. I sort of just do. Sometimes people suggest things. A lot of people in Traverse City have written to me with things I should do. Go out on the peninsula. I should go to this restaurant. I should go to this bar that's all old pinball machines. So I try and do things. I try and get a flavor for the area. Yeah, I do. I like to understand who I'm about to go in front of. What is the zeitgeist of the community? Do you make an effort to do something? Okay, I just read that. Do you travel alone? Yeah, mostly. Mostly, but I seem to have friends in every area because I've been going to these venues for so long. I'd love to hear more of this stuff in your podcast. I enjoy learning behind the scenes about the entertainment industry in general and your frequent flyer lifestyle, your friend Rachel. And she said you can mention this on your podcast. The thing is, Rachel, to be honest with you, it's a hard life. It's a really hard life. And when I was younger, I had the energy, I had the enthusiasm, and I was blind to the world because the world didn't come to me on a device every day. I didn't sit there in my digital hermitness looking at my phone and ding, notification. This shit just went wrong in the world. So you weren't privy. You didn't have access. You weren't fed the crap of the world over and over and nonstop all the time. We're being abused by our phones. Our phones are abusive. Notifications are abusive. So you used to live in this idyllic little bubble world. And now we live in bubbles, but they're worse because they're segregated. I believe in this. Okay, your bubble's over there, but I believe in that. Your bubble goes over there. Those people are wrong, and your bubble's over there. Like, and you're only going to hear from people that are in your bubble category. Like, we're so segregated, we're so stubborn, we're so unwilling to bend, and there's some of the cockiest, uninformed people in the world. That's what humans are, cocky and uninformed. And what I would say to everybody is, stop being a digital hermit. Get off your device and find the middle. Listen to people. Listen to people. Not everything is so bad. Not everything is conspiracy theory. So just get out of your bubble. Now, we used to live in bubbles, but our bubbles were like, hey, I live in a small town. I grew up in Lexington, Mass. Everything was Lexington, Mass. Now the world comes to us over and over and over. and we're just stuck on this device, and the device is killing us. And what you all really need to do is put down your devices and come see Orny Adams at a comedy show. Come see Orny Adams in Traverse City, Michigan. Come see Orny Adams in Chicago. Come see Orny Adams in Saratoga, Florida.
What's his name, Kev?
February 15th and 16th. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Ernesto Hurtado, for mastering the audio. Thank you, Ernesto Hurtado, for helping me with that jack audio. It's a fun ride. So, in other words, you were supposed to get a podcast last week, but I spent all of last week trying to fix that audio. And now I'm just so frustrated. I want to smash my laptop. I want to smash my computer. I just want to smash that recording device that failed twice. I just want to smash everything. And I'm exhausted. So you didn't get a podcast last week, so I apologize about that. But I'm a one-man show. I'm a madman in a Shasta trailer talking to himself. So thank you for your patience, everybody. And I appreciate all the correspondence to What's Wrong at OrnyAdams.com. Continue. And if you want to see me live, go to OrnyAdams.com/tour. Have a very wonderful week. I will be traveling. I'm like one of these storm chasers. That's what the name of my tour should be. Storm chasers. I'm flying right into the eye of the storm right there in Michigan to see you. So, I hope you appreciate it. See you next time for episode 102.